Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
WeatherTech, maker of custom-fit floor mats and floor liners made in the USA. Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
Valvoline, maker of next-gen motor oil. Engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at Valvoline.com. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price. Invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
Subaru, introducing the all-new 2012 Subaru Impreza.
Animating and sharing first car stories at FirstCarStory.com.
Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the signage department here at Car Talk Plaza.
This sounds like it's real. It's a whole bunch of signs that appear in countries where English is not the
primary language.
Primary language,
or
you might
maybe
say.
Secondary language.
And I'll just give you a few examples. According to this one, it's a cocktail lounge in Norway. Sign says, ladies are requested not to have children in the bar.
Okay.
In a hotel in Acapulco, the manager has personally passed all the water being served here. An Ati, I don't know where that is, the Ati River, A-T-H-I. Take notice, when this sign is underwater, this road is impassable. And my first personal favorite, which happens to be the last one here. This hotel is renowned for its peace and solitude. In fact, crowds from all over the world flock here to enjoy this solitude. It's so easy to make a little mistake like that. Imagine.
Well, no, sure, of course. And, you know, you know what the real meaning is, obviously.
Sure.
And they're doing their very best, but at the same time.
But if we were, if the tables were reversed, I mean, if you had to make up a sign to put in one of these countries in their language, it's so simple to just fall into.
I have trouble enough with our language. Look, if you have a question about your car or anything else, or language for that matter.
Or language.
Give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Arlie from Evanston, Wyoming.
Is it Arlo with a Y?
Nope.
E-E?
A-R-L-E-I-G-H.
Oh.
Yeah. One of those weird Gaelic spellings.
Of course, right. We should have known that.
Right, like Sir Walter Arley.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. Where are you from again?
Evanston, Wyoming.
Evanston, Wyoming.
Out here in the hinterlands.
Yeah, you said it, not us.
I could tell that in your voice, though.
You could you?
So what kind of a pickup truck do you have?
You know, you're absolutely right. I think 95% of the vehicles in Evanston, Wyoming are pickup trucks. But I happen to drive a 1988 Nissan Stanza.
Really?
Really. At very inconvenient times, usually, it will begin to do two things. And this is sometimes just when I start it up. Sometimes it's when I've been driving it for 15 minutes. One, the accelerator starts to do the opposite of what you want it to do. You touch it, and the car dies. And the second thing is, it does what I call the Elvis idle.
Mm. Shake, rattle, and roll?
No. It goes like this. It goes...
The Elvis idle. I love it.
And let me just confirm here.
Yeah.
If you get beyond that 15-minute mark, are we correct in assuming that all of this goes away and doesn't recur?
No, not necessarily.
That's not correct.
Sometimes, it usually does happen on short trips. I haven't had it happen on the freeway. And this only happens in the winter, and it's actually happened the last 4 winters.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a patient guy.
You're a patient man, is right.
Oh, I'm cheap. And it usually just happened on cold mornings, and it usually, as the car warmed up, it did stop. Mm-hmm. But then recently, it started doing it when the car was very warm to where the temperature needle was all the way halfway between C and H.
Mm. All right. Let me just tell you in advance here, right from the get-go, that any answer you receive from us is going to be pure guesswork. And we're giving you one final opportunity here to either give us more information, hang up, or this is a new policy we're going to institute here at Car Talk. We want you to think of a backup question.
I mean, oh yeah,
right. I mean, if your number one question can't be answered, it would be nice if you had a backup question, because if you did, you might get an answer.
Okay, I'll work on that. Okay, let me give you more information.
Give us more information then.
Okay, the other day I had driven to the gym, worked out, and then left, and then hour later, got back in the car, drove about a minute or two, and then it died at an intersection. I coasted down the hill to the Walmart parking lot, and there it did the Elvis Idol for half an hour.
Can you give us the Elvis Idol again? Because I'm not so sure that all of America heard it. So maybe a few people in the bathroom.
It sounds like...
I love it. All right. I think we've established that there's no real pattern here. That's good, because it fits in with my answer.
Oh, good.
Now, I'm not sure your car has one of these, but if it does, this is the prime candidate. And I think it does. I mean, this thing is fuel injected.
Yeah.
And I believe it has a device. Not all fuel injected cars have one, but I believe your car has a throttle position sensor. And from what you describe, this is the most likely candidate. Mm. Now, I think you ought to be able to go and find a junkyard and buy yourself a used one. And you can identify it as being the right one, because yours will have numbers on it.
Okay.
You know, I discount things like the fuel pump and the air mass meter and all that, because I think that over 4 years, something awful would have happened.
Let me ask you one other thing. When it does warm up,
yeah,
and it's running okay, what's it idling at? How many RPMs?
Oh, about 1,000.
Hmm. Why, you have a thought?
I do have a thought, because I wasn't thinking of the throttle position sensor. I was getting...
Who are you thinking of?
I was getting vacuum.
Really?
I was having a strong feeling having to do with vacuum.
Maybe because that negative pressure in your cranium.
No, but ponder it, if you will.
Yeah.
When we get him back for
Stump the Chumps,
we'll find out that he's got a vacuum leak. I have strong vacuum leak feelings.
Okay.
I just want to go on record.
Okay.
I just want to go on record. Okay.
All right.
That's it.
See ya, Arlie.
Thank you very much, guys.
Throttle position sensor. If it doesn't have one, you won't be on Stump the Chumps. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Thank you very much. Oh, sugar.
1-8.
That's a very good.
1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Richmond, Virginia.
What's up with you, Melissa?
Well, I was driving on New Year's Eve to Blacksburg, and it's a 3-hour drive from Richmond, and it was late at night. I didn't have time to dry my clothes, so I brought the wet ones with me, and I had the brilliant idea of, while I was driving, turning the defroster on high and the heat on high, and then laying my clothes up there. And I dried a pair
on the dashboard?
On the dashboard, right.
I love it.
And I dried a pair of overalls, 2 sweaters, a couple skirts, and a shirt in 3 hours. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, all right, I've got this all figured out. And the next morning when I tried to use my defroster or heater, it was broken. The fan burned out.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
I'm not surprised, I have to say.
No, I'm surprised. This is an old car. What is this thing?
It's a 97 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Let me get this straight. When you laid these sweaters on the dashboard, did you cover up all the possible openings?
No, I was careful just to cover one vent, and I left the other vent open, but I covered the one right in front of the steering wheel. And is the fan under there, perhaps?
No.
No, the fan is actually on the other side, but it wouldn't make any difference because the fan housing is open to both of those vents.
Huh.
And so, I mean, I was, when I said I wasn't surprised, it was because I thought you had covered up everything and therefore the air had no place to go.
No, I thought a little common sense. So, no, I didn't cover both of them.
Oh, so Tommy was thinking that by restricting the flow of air, you overheated the fan motor
and
burned it out. But you didn't do that, did you, Melissa?
Well, I didn't think I did, but I did touch the radio buttons about 2 hours into the trip, and they felt very hot.
They felt very hot.
And I thought, I'm going to burn out my fan, but no, I'll keep doing it anyways.
Yeah, well, you did burn out the fan.
So that's...
I'm just wondering why.
Is it a faulty Jeep that you should be able to cover one of the vents?
Well, I mean, did you get the dryer option when you bought it?
I don't know. The manual.
I don't know if the Jeep company has ever considered this as a possibility.
Is it covered in the owner's manual?
Yeah, did you look in the owner's manual under drying?
I didn't check it. Should I call the manufacturer and complain?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what happened because clearly you burned out the motor.
Uh-huh.
And, yes, the fact that the buttons on the radio were hot, the fan is behind there somewhere.
But none of the speeds work now?
No, none of them. It will very slowly ooze out heat.
Oh, you may have just blown a fuse.
Well, I checked all the fuses.
If it isn't the fuse,
mm-hmm. It's the motor.
Then it's undoubtedly the motor, and you may be able to get it to spring to action by giving it a few gentle taps, like with a brick or something.
With a brick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it really got that hot,
mm-hmm.
That would mean it would be sucking a lot of amps, and it probably would have blown the fuse.
Okay.
Or it could have just burned itself out, and I'm going to go with my brother's original theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had more of that ductwork blocked than you think, or that you're admitting to.
No, the other, I couldn't reach the other side and drive safely, or else I probably would have blocked it.
Well, it could be just a coincidence, but it's unusual for a 97 Cherokee to burn out a blower motor.
I thought it was quite resourceful of you, though, Melissa, to dry the clothing that way. It was going to take hours.
Well, thank you.
Said, why waste the time?
Oh, and it worked so well.
Yeah, well, you won't do anything stupid like that anymore. Melissa, don't let this discourage you.
Okay.
You are a creative individual.
Yeah. Just keep those ideas coming.
I will keep going.
All righty.
Thank you, guys.
Great to talk to you. Bye.
I love the show. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jack from Jersey.
Jack from Jersey. Excellent.
I have a 94 Volvo 940 with about 140,000 miles on it. And a couple of weeks ago when the big deep freeze hit, the car was left outside overnight. In the morning I went out and the car started fine, but my horn had suddenly lost its mojo. It had gone from kind of a, you know, hale and hearty James Earl Jones kind of horn to a wimpy little Pee Wee Herman kind of horn.
Uh-huh.
Oh, like the kind you'd hear on a little bicycle.
Well, I have a tape, if I can play you.
Sure.
This is what my horn sounds like. Here's the tape.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like a Fisher-Price toy.
It's half a horn. You know why it's half a horn?
Because half of it ain't working.
And I lost my woofer.
You have two horns.
That's right.
You don't know that.
No.
Well, most cars, except for the ones which have lost a horn, you know, it's kind of like a rhino losing a horn. But if you have two horns and you lose a horn, what you wind up with is the high-pitched horn, which is that one. And what you've lost is the lower one, which is bah, bah. And the combination of the two tones gives you that blast which you like so much. So Tommy and I will try to reproduce for you what you want to do, high or low. You're the tenor usually, right?
I'm a tenor, yes.
Okay, he'll do the high, and I'll do the low. And this is what your horn used to sound like.
Bah. That's it.
Huh?
That's it. Wait a minute, let me record that.
So you can take it to the dealer and say, that's what I want.
Well, it's just, this thing is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Think how bad it would be if you had a horn like this on a Lincoln Navigator. I mean, it could almost be excused on a meek 940 Volvo, but a Lincoln Navigator, it would be embarrassing totally.
But now that it has warmed up a little bit, the horn has not come back?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I don't think it had anything to do necessarily with the cold weather, but the way a horn works, you know, is there's a metal diaphragm in there that vibrates
mm-hmm.
when current is sent to the little electromagnet inside the horn. Who knows what happened to the thing, but water gets in there, freezes, breaks the thing, and why it chose to break now, I don't know, but I'm glad it did because you wouldn't have called otherwise.
Cheap to replace?
Yeah, they're cheap to replace.
Yeah,
so you can go to the Volvo dealer and buy a new horn.
Oh, you can go to the junkyard and buy a horn.
Yeah,
one or the other.
Do they make, by the way, one other question, do they make vanity horns like those guys on Dukes of Hazzard?
Bet they do.
Yes, they do. Are you ready for one of those?
I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I can get a little Rosalita since I'm from Jersey or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
In fact, they make horns where you can program in your own message, you know. So you can have it play Für Elise or something like that. That would be kind of cute, wouldn't it? Well, good luck, Jack.
Thank you, sir.
I can tell we're unleashing this guy on the public. Thanks for calling. All right, look, it's time to move on to the puzzler answer. But before we do that, we have to shake the old puzzler loose from your memory bank.
The old one?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You ready?
My memory banks are actually all overdrawn right now, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's your first hint. Every March, when the college basketball tournament comes around, you are shocked when you find blank going on at Car Talk Plaza.
Work?
I said shocked, not traumatized. No, the word I was looking for was gambling.
Gambling going
okay,
on.
Okay, here's the second one. When you see a red light, you slow down. When you see a blank light, you speed up.
Yellow.
Well, maybe in our fair city, but I was looking for green. The puzzle was about a gambling man and some red and green cards.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
We began our time together, quietly at first. The most excitement that she saw was going in reverse. She frequented the grocery store, school, and our home. But I could tell she shared my need to venture on.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new automotive genetic testing service. Find out once and for all if your Hyundai has traces of Ferrari blood in it.
Yeah.
From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Angie's List, with reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories, with ratings based only on member feedback. Angie'sList.com. And
Valvoline, maker of next-gen motor oil. Engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at Valvoline.com.
And Esurance, an Allstate company offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at Esurance.com.
And even though the NPR security guard fiddles with the safety on his taser whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and the Bridgestone Americas Trust Fund, dedicated to improving the lives of children in Middle Tennessee and across the Americas by supporting programs that promote education and the welfare of children. Support the programming you value with a pledge today, and you could win a 7-day Mediterranean cruise for two. The cruise includes stops in Rome, Naples, Florence, Marseille, Barcelona, and more. Details on our spring e-pledge at WPLN.org.
Curry Ingram's lower school head, Dr. Jane Hanna, is a nationally recognized expert and published author on the topic of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Dr. Hanna has been asked to participate in a 15-member ADHD expert work group coordinated by Northwestern University, American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Medical Association to discuss best care recommendations with primary care physicians around the country. A recent article by Dr. Hanna about ADHD positives is online at curryingram.org/ADHD.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. If you recall, this was mathematical, historic, folkloric. I mean, it had everything, man. Suspenseful.
It was almost as good as the dimly lit Quonset hut. The intro to it, at least.
Man! Here we go.
Go ahead.
Take yourself back to 1849, the California Gold Rush. You've been working the hills for weeks and weeks, and you've built up a pretty good stash, so you decide it's time to clean up and go into the big city and hit a few saloons, you know? One late afternoon, you stumble out of one of the saloons, having spent most of your money on women and wine, and you hear someone call out to you. From the inky shadows emerges a well-dressed gentleman who proposes a game of chance. He says, I can tell you're a gambling man. If you weren't a gambling man, you wouldn't have come out here a prospecting. And I have a little game of chance I think you might be interested in, if you're willing to gamble some of your heart or
anything. Yeah, yeah.
I have with me this little silk bag, and in it are three cards. He pulls out the three cards, and one of them is green on both sides, one is red on both sides, and the third, as you might expect, is red on one side and green on the other. He says, I'm going to allow you to inspect the bag and then put the cards inside. Then I will let you pull one of the cards out, without looking at it, obviously, and you will place it down on the table here. So you and I will be able to see one side of the card.
What, the bottom side or the top side?
Where did the table come from? That's what I want to know.
Out of the inky shadows.
Ah, he had a little folding table. So you and I will be able to see one side of the card, and that will be either red or green. So you reach into the bag and you pull out a card and you put it on the table. And let's say that you can see a red face, okay? The con man says to you, I'll bet you even money that the other side of the card is also red.
Hmm.
Huh? You say. Should you take the bet?
Even money.
Even money. You say, well.
Seems like a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, I mean, it does, doesn't it? I mean, after all, the other side can be either red.
Yeah.
Or it could be green.
This still remains the question. If it is a 50-50 chance, do you take the bet?
If you're feeling lucky.
If you're feeling lucky. If a lucky. After being a prospect. Yeah. If you're feeling lucky, why not?
Well, you don't take the bet if you're feeling smart.
I never feel smart. I sometimes feel lucky. I sometimes get lucky.
When you pull that card out of the bag and you put it down on the table and, the face, the red face is showing. Okay.
Yeah.
He knows, that is the guy in the silk suit.
From the inky shadows.
The guy from the inky shadows knows that the green card is out of the equation.
So do you.
Yeah, well, you do too. Yeah, well, yeah. You should know.
You should
have. you should have known.
Unless you ain't a thinking.
So when the game started off, before anyone did anything, there were equal chances of getting either red or green because there were three green faces and three red faces.
Yeah.
But with the green card eliminated, there are, in fact, two red faces left.
Yeah.
And one green face left.
Mm. So you're saying the chances of winning are 2-1 in favor of red.
In
favor of the color that you see.
Believe it.
Get out.
Believe it or not.
Well, I do believe it.
Well, you can't believe it. Because what you're dealing with, you're not dealing with cards. You're actually dealing with sides.
Yes.
You see? And when you see red up, you could be seeing one or the other face of the red card. And that's what most people don't grasp. And that's why this guy became a millionaire playing this game in California.
And I should mention, to quote a famous man, this is a classic case.
It is.
Of Bayes' theorem.
Pretty cute, huh? Do we have a winner?
Of course we have a winner. The winner this week is Kelly Deal from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Kelly will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get a copy of our 4-CD set called Four Perfectly Good Hours. This set features four of our favorite shows exactly as they aired on NPR.
You know, when we come out with our next set of four shows, we'll be able to promote the two sets together as a sleep aid. Because if you listen to both sets, you'll get a full 8 hours of sleep. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so stick around for that. In the meantime, our number, as always, is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sally calling from North Salem, New York.
North Salem? Where's that?
It's about an hour north of New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. North of White Plains.
Oh, yeah, sure. We know exactly where you are. So what's happening, Sally?
Well, I was driving my husband's Ford Explorer, which is 2002, about a week and a half ago, and all of a sudden, there was a loud sound that went through the whole car, sort of like an electrical charge that went through the car, and at the same time, this enormous bright light flashed right next to my arm, which was resting on the console.
Sally, you haven't told anyone else this story, have you?
I have. I know it sounds completely ridiculous, but I promise you this happened.
Did your hair go from curly to straight?
No, it did not affect my hair. The strangest thing is it didn't seem to affect the car at all. I pulled over immediately, jumped out of the car, and was waiting for something to happen.
Where was this light? In the middle of the car?
It was right near where the cigarette lighter is, and the phone charger was plugged in, but there was no phone attached. And when I jumped out, I went away from the car, but I...
Was the car moving when you jumped out?
No, it was not moving.
Were there other cars on the road?
No, there was no one else. It was a little country road, and there was no one else around, but there was a power line right over the car.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the only thing I could imagine was if it had something to do with static electricity. But it was the sound...
Were you wearing natural fibers?
No.
Did you hear the words, Gort, Klaatu Barada Nikto?
And I did not take another trip to another planet.
What was the weather like?
It's clear. Completely clear.
And you saw a wire up above you?
Yes. There was a wire that crossed over the road. There were both the cable wires and the power lines crossed over.
You didn't hang a Huey and see if it happened going the other way?
No, it scared me half to death.
Oh, I would have kept going back and forth, back and forth.
Absolutely.
No, honestly, the light was so bright, and I thought something was catching fire, or I had
sure, Sally, we're with you.
Yeah, you sure you
they
are.
They tell you when you talk at the nut job like this, and you just keep saying yes and agree with them, and you shouldn't be confrontational. I'm sorry. Was my mic on?
Does anyone screen these calls? I mean, can any wacko just call us?
Evidently.
This is not fair to us.
Evidently. So, what are you trying to find out from us?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what happened. I mean, the car is fine, never did anything. But I just wondered if you had a clue what could have caused it. And if it's, obviously, if it's something that might happen again or if it's dangerous.
Well, it certainly is unusual. And no, we do not have any experience with it.
I stumped the Car Talk guys.
Well,
wait. No, it doesn't mean we don't have an answer.
We haven't given you an answer yet, but we will.
Okay.
Where exactly were you?
What town were you in?
Wacabuck, New York.
Wacabuck.
Don't laugh.
Well, no, why would we laugh?
Give us a break.
Wacabuck is a very lovely community.
Have you ever been back there since then?
Yes, it's actually the neighboring town, and I drive that road all the time.
So you drive under these power lines?
Yes, I do.
On a regular basis, and this one time, is there any chance that maybe you gnawed it off for a second, and then you...
I was not chewing on the phone cable at the time.
You weren't chewing on the phone cable.
The phone cable was plugged into the cigarette lighter, but there was no phone attached.
Right.
I hate to break it to you. I don't think the phone cable plugged into the cigarette lighter has anything to do
you
with
don't.
This. No.
That was the only thing I could imagine.
And you didn't see Rod Serling step off from behind a bush with a cigarette dangling from
waiting.
His lips?
I was waiting for him.
You're waiting for him.
Oh, man.
You've been into the Twilight Zone. Next stop, Willoughby. Jeez, I don't know, Sally. I mean, Of course, we believe every word of what you've told us.
Of course we do.
Because you'd have no reason to lie.
That's correct.
However, it's entirely possible that you either saw something that wasn't there.
No, I don't think so.
Or you're nuts. And I'm leaning heavily towards nuts.
Well, but what about the sound?
Oh, the sound.
No, it happened.
Give us the sound again. What do you think the sound was? It was like a...
It was like a... You know, like a... But a really loud...
Yeah.
Well, you would get that. I mean, for example, a buildup of static electricity.
Exactly.
That's why I was asking you if you were wearing natural fiber clothing, because it could have been a big static discharge.
Well, that's what my husband thought.
Was the radio on?
Yes.
Because sometimes interference, especially when I drive under the power line sometimes,
but it was loud, much louder. It was like...
It can be louder than the radio.
It was like it enveloped the car.
And maybe...
That would explain the sound.
Here's what I think.
Right.
I think you nodded off a little bit. Now, just work with me here, will you? You drove under these power lines, and this interference came across the radio, but
right.
It was much louder than the radio volume, you know, was turned up to. But that's okay, because interference can be louder. That startled you and woke you up. And when you woke up, you saw the sun. And
I don't think so.
She didn't nod off.
I did not.
And she saw the bright light.
No, I don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
I don't either.
Well, I think the zoom, zoom noise was radio interference coming from the high voltage wires. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But it does not explain the flash of light.
The light was so intense, I couldn't wait to get the car stopped and jump out of the car.
And what was the name of this town again?
Walk-a-buck.
Walk-a-buck. All right. That's like buck-a-book. Walk-a-buck. We're going to put it on our website, and
I'm sure that we will get someone who is familiar with high-voltage things.
In Walk-a-buck.
Yeah.
Sally, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to talk to you today.
Okay.
One way or the other.
Thank you.
We're going to get to the bottom of this, and if we never speak to you again, we'll know why. See you later.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Where do they come from?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom and Ray, how's it going?
Slow it down, will you? Who's this?
This is Brandon from Arcata, California.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi.
Arcata. Where's that?
Up north somewhere.
Way up north.
Yeah. Way up north.
Yeah, 90 miles south of the Oregon border, right on the coast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
I have a 1973 VW Karmann Ghia.
Life is good in Arcata.
I've been thinking about Karmann Ghias lately.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, you know, Volkswagen has come out with the new Beetle.
Uh-huh.
And I says to myself, what about the Ghia?
Yeah.
What about that?
I think you may have read their minds, or maybe they read your... No, they didn't.
Yeah.
That's definite. That's a definite.
I think so.
Oh, sure.
Because that was a very popular little car.
Yeah.
They must be working on it.
Well, I hope so.
Thanks for calling, Brandon. If there's anything we can ever do for you, call again. So you got a 73 Karmann Ghia. What about it?
Yeah, it's got a real wild problem. It sputters on acceleration. You know, if you're at a stop sign and you want to go, it kind of sputters and stalls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll run fine once you get up to speed, and it backfires at low RPMs. And I just recently found out I had some friends drive behind me from Eureka, which is like 13 miles south.
Right. Those little flames are shooting out your tailpipe.
No, black smoke.
Huge flames are shooting out the tailpipe. Yeah, and they also said that that sparks are falling out of the tailpipe.
You mean there's a fire in the back? that's maybe why they call it a backfire.
Yeah, they said it looked like little tiny, like, blowtorch flame shooting out of the tailpipes.
Yeah, it's backfiring.
Yeah.
Because it's missing.
Uh-huh.
What's missing is the ignition is missing in all likelihood. In other words, you're not getting a spark in every cylinder every time.
Uh-huh.
So certain times the piston comes up and compresses the mixture of gas and air.
Uh-huh.
And when there's no spark or insufficient spark to ignite that mixture, it gets pushed out as a combustible charge into the exhaust system, where it meets with all the other hot gases that were just combusted, and guess what? It's hot enough to burn, except now the flame is in your muffler, and it comes out your tailpipes.
Wow. Is that dangerous? Like, is it going to catch on fire? Or?
No, whatever happens is going to be behind you.
Uh-huh. What do you care?
Yeah, you'll see it in your rearview mirror. Yeah, it's dangerous. In fact, we had a call some years ago from a guy whose pickup truck was doing a similar thing, and he set the side of the road on fire. You know that tall grass?
Wow.
Yeah, you could be responsible for one of those many brush fires that California is plagued with every summer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you'd be on the mystery surrounds.
You'd be on the news, man. Your picture would be on a milk carton.
Oh no!
Find this man for us.
I mean, there could be all kinds of causes for this.
Mm-hmm.
But the most likely is that your points are burned up.
The points are burned up.
I think this thing has points and condenser 73.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
It must.
Yeah, but I went in and replaced the points, and I replaced the plugs,
but
wires.
Not the condenser.
Not the condenser. You're right.
Replace the condenser.
You've got to replace the condenser.
Okay.
It's a pain in the butt, but you've got to replace it.
Okay.
This is the one, I think, where you have to push that little piece of plastic into the hole in the bottom of the distributor.
Yep.
You got to take the distributor out to do it.
And then it breaks or falls down inside.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and then it shorts out.
That's why nobody ever does it.
The car will never run again.
Oh, no.
But that will probably fix it.
All right.
See ya, Brandon.
Good luck.
Thanks, Tom.
And we'll let you know when they make the Karmann Ghia.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I looked on the Karmann website, the coach builder that built the body.
Yeah.
And they've designed a new Karmann Ghia, but I don't think they can find anyone to make it, to actually produce it.
Volkswagen isn't interested?
I don't know.
Well, hey, it could come out to be the Fiat Karmann Ghia.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
How about the Yugo Karmann Ghia?
Oh, boy.
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling, Brandon.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, we are contractually obligated to give our listeners a short break. You know
what I mean? I mean, we have to give them a moment of peace and quiet, a chance to get away from our incessant cajoling, bickering, laughing.
Hey, do you think there's a chance I could get away from that, too?
Yeah, sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, stay tuned, because in just a minute, we'll be back with this week's brand new puzzler, and I'm not even going to give a hint, because...
You are?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not going to give a hint?
No. No.
Wow.
No.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
Somebody says pull over. Somebody says slow down. Let's turn up the radio. Drown out that knocking sound. Cover up the red light with this duct tape we found. What's that pounding? What's that knocking sound? What's that knocking?
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new line of automotive vending machines, dispensing air fresheners, keychains, and engine blocks from NPR, NPR member stations, and
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRoePrice.com.
And Valvoline, maker of next-gen motor oil, engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at Valvoline.com. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square,
whose Corbu Spa and Salon offers a French-inspired treatment menu.
Learn more at CorbuSpa.com.
And Subaru, introducing the all-new 2012 Subaru Impreza. Animating and sharing first car stories at firstcarstory.com. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
And even though Carl Castle wonders if that job-selling aluminum siding is still available, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzle.
I can hardly wait.
You're gonna love it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this didn't need much obfuscation at all. Well, when I say at all.
It came pre-obfuscated?
It came very well obfuscated. And this is from the world of automotive, physics, chemistry. It covers all the disciplines, man.
Social interactions?
Oh, absolutely. Social interactions. What would you want to call it? Forestry?
Forestry!
Agriculture?
Meteorology?
And animal husbandry.
Go ahead.
This came in from Dan Scribner from, of all places, Rock Hill, New York. One crisp autumn day, a farmer neighbor of mine asked for a hand laying in his supply of firewood for the coming winter. Now, you know right away that it's authentic.
Laying in. Yeah.
It's city slickers.
City slickers don't lay in anything.
No. They lay in bed on Saturdays.
They lie in bed on
Saturdays. Anyway, standing next to his woodshed was an ancient circular saw, which he used to cut logs to stove length. And the saw was driven by a wide leather belt, which looped from a wide pulley on the saw to another pulley, which was affixed to the power takeoff of his equally ancient Jeep. Now, for those of you who don't know what a power takeoff is, most work vehicles have an auxiliary shaft coming out of the transmission that can, instead of allowing the power to go from the engine through the transmission to the wheels, you can put the thing in neutral, engage this power takeoff, and have power go from the engine through the transmission and drive another shaft which is not connected to the wheels. And in this case, it would deliver the engine's power to this old-time saw here with the leather belt.
It's a power takeoff because you're taking power off of the engine.
Right. So known as a PTO.
Yeah.
Anyway, as he was maneuvering the Jeep into position, he asked if I could run back to the barn and bring back the large crowbar, which was in the back corner of the barn. Well, anyway, it was about a mile down the hill to the barn, and then I had to walk back with this 20-pound crowbar on my shoulder. But I obliged because he's my neighbor, and I'd probably, get some firewood out of it, if nothing else. Anyway, by the time I got back, he had moved the Jeep into the proper...
Or maybe there's a farmer's daughter involved.
Yeah.
Might as well make it really interesting.
You never know. By the time I got back, he had moved the Jeep into the proper position. So I took the crowbar, I kind of stuck it into the ground and leaned it against the tailgate. And he chalked the wheels, he engaged the power takeoff after he had lined up the pulleys, and everything was all set.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he runs the engine, he cuts up all his wood, and at the end of the day, we were picking up our tools, and I remarked that we hadn't needed the crowbar after all. Don't forget, he'd asked me to go and get this thing. I walked all the way down the hill to the barn,
Lugged
it back.
Just wanted to get rid of you.
And he says, "Oh no, you were wrong. The crowbar was used. In fact, it was essential to the operation. And had we not had it, we wouldn't have been able to do what we did." And I said, "Huh?" And the question very simply is, what was the crowbar for?
Wow.
And I'll give a hint, because Dan gave a hint. My neighbor said that he had forgotten to bring the crowbar once, and he would never make that mistake again. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. Or on the back of a $20 bill. Now, we're not asking for a $21 bill.
We're not anymore?
No, no one has those. But they got 20s, and we want some of them. So on the back of a $20 bill, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything, and I mean anything, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brad from Baltimore.
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Here's my situation, though.
Yeah.
I have a 96 Honda Civic hatchback.
Mm-hmm.
And it is part of a mystical, spiritual, hydrological car situation.
Okay.
My car does not leak. water does not come in through the ceiling because there's no stains. The window seams don't leak because there's no little dribbles of water.
But the carpet is wet.
Even worse, I don't want to say collects. It emanates. It comes into being in my trunk in the well that holds the spare tire. And we're not talking just a little bit of wetness here. We're talking 1 to 3 inches of water.
I don't mean to laugh, but...
Well, yeah, you do. It just comes into being. And
yeah.
I don't notice it. You know, there's nothing going on. Everything's fine. Driving around in the car. And then I take a turn, and suddenly I hear slosh.
Yep.
And there's all this water. Now, this was not a problem for me until my friend Dave stepped into the picture.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Dave doesn't live in Baltimore. He turned 30, and we had to go celebrate his 30th birthday far away from Baltimore. And my rule of thumb is never leave Baltimore.
How far away did you have to go?
We actually went to Chicago.
And you drove the Civic?
No, we flew.
Oh, you flew?
It was only for the weekend. We came back.
Yeah.
I get to the car, and the first thing I notice is that, you know, it's winter, it's cold, it's below freezing, and the windshield is all icy.
On the inside.
On the inside. Now, you might think, oh, well, that's no problem, because being a hardy, industrious type person, you probably have a windshield scraper in your car. And I did. So I pull it out, and I discovered something. The inside of a car windshield is concave.
And it's hard to, and you know,
it's impossible to scrape.
Right, because the scraper itself is concave, and therefore what you get is not a good, healthy scrape. You get these two little lines.
Two little lines at the end.
You know the best thing to remove that ice with?
What?
Your tongue.
I was basically at that point. So what I ended up doing, and I said, I'll just sit here, I'll warm up the car.
Sure.
Then it starts to happen. It begins to rain on me in the car because all the water is now beginning to defrost and it's dripping down on me.
Yeah.
As I sit there at midnight trying to get myself home.
Oh, Brad, what an ordeal, huh?
Well, clearly there was moisture in the car. Why else would you have this thick layer of frost?
Oh, and we know where the moisture came from. It came from your spare tire well. We also know how it got in.
You do?
Of course we do.
Oh, you guys are good.
Well, and we even have potential remedies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Believe it or not, it's coming in through the weather stripping of your hatchback. You still there, Brad?
I'm still here. I'm turning it over in my mind.
No, that's exactly where it's coming in, and it's gravitating, as things do when they're affected by gravity, to the low spot, which is that spare tire carrier. Now, you can replace the weather stripping, or rather have it replaced by someone who knows how to do it, or you could choose my brother's approach.
Which is a drill.
Which is just drill a hole. Yeah, actually, you can drill a hole in that spare tire well, but
mm-hmm.
it may actually have a rubber plug in it to let water out. And you can take that rubber plug out and leave it out, or you can take that out and make a hole in it and then reinstall it, and that should do it.
So you're telling me that the water is creeping sort of like in The Great Escape, only backwards.
Yeah, you got
little
it.
Little tiny bits of water are sneaking their way around and assembling en masse.
Yeah, what you have now is you have a low-pressure system that you're driving around.
Yeah.
You know, the Baltimore area. So you're driving around a storm system.
Yeah, and when you turned on the heater, it rained.
So
it isn't really mystical or spiritual, but it is hydrological.
And meteorological.
Meteorological.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
All you got to do is get rid of the water. It's very simple. Look for the plug. Most of those wells have a rubber plug, but not all.
But if it doesn't, you can always drill a hole. Just make sure you don't drill through anything like your gas tank. We don't want you calling back next week asking how to put out a fire or anything like that. See you, Brad.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
It's always safest to drill from the bottom up.
It always is.
Because you drill from the top down, you have no idea what's underneath.
But it's not as much fun. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melanie calling from Sacramento, California.
Hi,
Melanie.
You sound mellow, Melanie.
I am mellow Melanie, yeah.
Wow.
So what can we do for you today?
Well, here's my problem.
Yeah.
My husband owns several vehicles, which he maintains in absolute pristine condition. But for some reason, his Saturn is a complete mess. He simply cannot bring himself to clean it. And every time I am required to drive it, I find myself in this precarious position of having to swat and bat at the trash that it somehow levitates into some sort of a mini wind tunnel cloud. And I just need marriage counseling, I guess, right now.
But
I need you guys to help convince
his
him.
His other cars are pristine.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
What are the other cars?
Well, he has a 63 fire engine red Porsche, a 65 VW bus, a 66 VW Beetle, a 71 VW Beetle convertible, and I drive an F-150 pickup, and we have a Honda scooter.
Whoa. Well, I mean, all the other cars are classics of some kind, and of course he would take care of those. The Saturn is the only car that was made after 1960s. And it's a junker.
But here's the irony. On our very first date, he was 2 hours late to pick me up for a first date. He appeared at the door. I shut the door in his face. He banged on the door. He held up a bill of sale and pleaded with me to let him in, exclaiming that the reason he was late was he spent 2 hours at the Saturn dealer because he wanted to take me out in a beautiful, new, clean car. So what's happened?
Well, he was trying to win you over. Now that he's got you...
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He's gone back to his real self.
And this is the very Saturn that he still has?
The same Saturn. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing. My son, who's a slob.
I think that would be and fair assessment.
And he got into his sister's car, who is a slob also. And he noticed that he couldn't believe how much stuff was in her car floating around.
Oh, amazing.
Papers, clothing, every place there was stuff. Empty water bottles rolling back and forth.
Are you suggesting that maybe Melanie's a slob too and she contributes to the junk that's in the Saturn?
I'm saying my son's observation was it runs in the family. Is what he said.
Uh-huh.
His car is like that. I don't want to mention his mother's car. If I had a car, it might be like that, but I...
Oh, no, when you have had cars, all of your cars, and I think... I want to defend Joanne here because I think the tendency to be a slob...
Yeah?
...that your children have inherited...
Yeah.
...comes directly... from you. There's no question about it. I mean, you were the guy who had trees growing in the back. Remember the trees that were growing in the back of your Caprice?
Yeah.
Remember the raccoons that had inhabited
that was accidental. Dark. Somehow dirt got into the back seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, by leaving
you have dirt, and it was a convertible, which I didn't often put the top up because it didn't go up very easily. And so if you have dirt,
And seeds.
And they have rain.
Sunshine. Photosynthesis takes place, and next thing you know, you've got a rainforest in the back of your car.
And I actually was growing trees in the back seat of the car.
You know, and he's a professional. He's an attorney. He's very professional in all other aspects of his life. His defense is that he has a system. And, you know, on top of the Krispy Kremes and the Jim Boys and the Rappers and the Blimpies and the donuts from the mini mart. And the system is every couple of days he'll actually buy a glass bottle of something, a Lipton tea or something. And he has a system where he kind of weights them down.
No, I got to tell you, Melanie, don't interfere with this because this is his escape.
Okay.
What are you doing driving his car anyway?
This is his fortress of solitude. This crap, as you see it, is really keeping him balanced mentally. And even though you view it as junk and a biohazard, it really is keeping him from going off the deep end. What would you rather have, a few empty iced tea bottles and candy wrappers or a guy banging his head against the wall?
Yeah,
I mean, that's your choice here.
Have you been to his office?
Yes.
And?
Is it a mess?
No, it's really not bad. I think you're right. The car may be his outlet.
The car is his only outlet. And if you take this away from him, he's going to flip out. He'll be calling you. The guys with the white coats will be calling you from the rubber room.
So, I'm just going to have to be more organized and ensure that I drive one of the other vehicles.
Yeah, just be careful. Yeah. Be careful
about
this.
Stay out of the Saturn.
Stay out. You might get sick.
Let him have his outlet.
Let him have his outlet, because if you don't, he's going to go flippo on you.
Well, thank you. I'm going to try to be a better wife.
Okay. See you, Melanie.
Thank you. I'm sure
you're up to it. Bye.
Okay.
You're a good wife already.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I wasn't listening.
No? Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Brichford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Myanmar Arctic Char, Steak Tartare, Carib Bar, Cookie Jar, Zoop the Bar, We'll All Snub the Salad Bar, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our beatnik philosopher is Harry Reasoner. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our wardrobe advisor is Luke Howard Fitzhugh. Our PowerPoint producer is Boris Tadef. Our fleet maintenance manager is Renata Oil. Our office ice cream taster is Nora Morse. Our children's music programmer is Al Loetta. Our director of Puzzler Answer Luxury Gift Reception is Donatella Du Bois. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shivering aura enhancers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1208, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, find out about Car Talk's second opinion service.
Now, we know there are lots of people out there who just got a repair estimate for like $1 jillion and are wondering, do I really need this stuff?
So what do? They call us.
And what do? We put them on hold because we only got an hour a week to take calls. So we've put together a group of experienced mechanics to provide a much faster service for when you really need an instant second opinion on a repair estimate.
There's a small fee for it.
But hey, these guys have boat payments too, right? Get all the details on Car Talk's second opinion service right now over at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Esurance, an Allstate company offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at esurance.com. And
Valvoline, maker of Next Gen Motor Oil. Engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at valvoline.com.
And WeatherTech, maker of floor mats and floor liners to protect a vehicle's interior from snow, sand, mud, and dirt. Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Towing away your car and selling it. To support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the president of NPR heads over to the hardware aisle to pick up two rolls of duct tape, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.